This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Combine happening in Indianapolis. Joining us now to talk about that and other Ravens news from the Baltimore Banner on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the show Gianna Hahn. Gianna, good morning. How are you feeling today?
You know, I'm hanging in there. It's a long week, late nights, early morning. So had a 6:30 meetup this morning, but still alive.
You can make it happen, Gianna. Now, Justin Tucker, obviously in the news, Baltimore Banner, Justin Fenton, and everyone else talking about the accusations, very serious, in regards to inappropriate behavior at massage therapy. He put out a statement yesterday where he denied any impropriety there or inappropriate behavior, but then apologized as well. I'm not Matlack. I'm not Perry Mason. I'm showing my age, of course. But what do we read, if we read anything, into the fact that he did apologize and show empathy to some level here?
So it's interesting because it's a lot of the same verbiage as what he had in his statement, where before he said, "I never intend to make someone uncomfortable," and now he's saying, "I apologize if I made someone uncomfortable." I guess take it as you will. It's "I'm sorry you feel that way" type of apology, maybe. At least that's how he wrote it. But it's the first thing we've heard from him since the initial statement. So they're certainly approaching the allegations differently than they were, but I don't know how much you can necessarily read into it. For example, it's not an admission of guilt. He didn't say, "I'm sorry that I did this." Again, he was saying, "I'm sorry if someone felt uncomfortable." I don't want to talk too much about what he meant in inner workings because I am not privy to that. We haven't gotten to talk to him one-on-one. None of our interview requests to him have been approved outside of statements, but it definitely shows that they're taking a slightly different approach to the allegations.
Hey, Gianna, do you think he'll get suspended by the league office?
You know, it's hard to presume. We don't get any details from the NFL. It is not their practice to provide details. We can only look at what has already happened in the past. So Deshaun Watson, obviously not exactly the same situation, but we saw that despite not being charged criminally, the NFL can still take action. So they defined during that investigation what their version of sexual conduct means. And should the NFL find these allegations to be true, Tucker is certainly subject to be suspended. Because it aligns a lot with what happened with Deshaun, but we have to wait and see what the NFL will do. And that's what the Ravens are trying to do as well. They have a little bit of a timeline because if they need to replace him, they can only really do it for a certain amount of time, but DaCosta did say they were going to be as patient as possible to wait and see what the NFL finds. So that's kind of where we are at, too, in thinking about what could happen, but in saying what will happen, we just have to wait and see what the NFL finds.
So, Gianna, what have you learned at the combine that you didn't know before you got there?
That's a good question. I think one of the main things for me this year at combine, this is my second one, has just been learning what goes into all the different aspects of the combine. Everyone sees on TV, the players are just, you know, they're testing and they're interviewing, but so many things are being done here. From talking about free agency, I learned that all the agents here, a lot of them, these meetings with teams, it's about free agency. It's not actually about, like, their draft guys. Even things like different real estate people, financial advisors, people who have, like, leadership companies are here wheeling and dealing and trying to get teams and players to sign on with them. So just learning about the business of the combine. It's a lot more than you can imagine.
So, Gianna, do you think that the Ravens re-sign Ronnie Stanley? Because listen to Eric the other day. It sure sounded like he felt very good about it.
Yeah, you know, I was not sure where they were going to go with that because obviously Ronnie had a fantastic year. He's proven in the past he can be a good player, and he, true to his word, showed that he can be that player again. But they're very tight in cap space. They said ahead of last season when they traded Morgan Moses, who they said was on a team-friendly deal, and yet they traded him, that they planned to build this thing through the draft. So I was like, you know, they might love Ronnie Stanley, but if they're committed to this, they're going to do it through the draft. And then Eric gets up there and says, and, you know, things can always change, but he gets up there and says, yeah, I'm pretty confident we're bringing him back. Like, we're going to get a deal done, stuff like that. I don't know the exact verbiage, so you'd have to fact check me on that. But it was a very positive kind of sentiment when it came to Ronnie Stanley. So, you know, for me personally, I don't think you can overstate experience when it comes to the line. Like, there's a lot of young talent, and, like, Tyler Linderbaum's getting a little bit more experience, but nothing can compare to what Ronnie has seen and, you know, his relationship with Lamar. So, yeah, maybe we'll be seeing him back in purple next year.
Now, speaking of seeing players back, your expectations for Mark Andrews are?
You know, that's another one that's hard to read because people are reading both ways in the statement, but I would say it wouldn't necessarily surprise me if Ravens fans had to get used to a different starting tight end on this Ravens team. But that's just me. I can't speak for Eric DaCosta.
Gianna Han, Baltimore Banner, joining us, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fed. Gianna, real quick, because we know you're busy down there, or out there in India, I guess. The salary cap, 279.2, doesn't put the Ravens in an ideal cap situation, but better than it was, say, 48 hours ago. Do we read anything into this on the last day of February?
You know, Eric DaCosta was asked that exact question when they were predicting it, and he was like, every bit helps, but we're searching for change. And, you know, that's really where they're at. The amount they have, I believe, is it $12 million? I would have to check that. But different salary cap experts I've talked to say that you want like $12 to $15 million going into the season just for draft and incidentals. And we're not even at free agency yet. So that's, again, why you're going to have to see what they do with Ronnie Stanley. You're going to have to see, which if they extend him, they can restructure some things. And you're going to see what they do with Mark Andrews because they need some space. So, yes, that helps a lot. Every little bit helps. But at the same time, I don't think it's going to change their approach. I think they're still going to have to be restructuring, thinking about cutting, trying to get guys on low deals. Very similar to what they've done in the past.
Gianna Han, Baltimore Banner. Think of incidentals like tablecloths or like shampoo or something. But Gianna, appreciate the time. Have fun at the combine this weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
There's Gianna Hahn, everybody. It's Vinny at Haney 105.7, the Fan Whip Around. Coming up when we return, talk about what happened in the world of sports last night. A couple of historic things, so stay tuned for that. Terps tomorrow, Penn State. Talk about that with Keith Cavanaugh. Mike Locks, the University of Maryland, put out a press release. 500 new football coaches. It seems that way. We're going to get a checklist from Keith at the bottom of the hour.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Vinny and Haney's Whip.
Brought to you by Fox Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes, the best crab cakes in Harford County.
105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, here on this Featured Artist Friday. It's Rage Against the Machine. It's chosen by you, the people. Anything you want to hear from them, send a request. Plotsport text line at 410-583-1057. Keith Cavanaugh joins us at the bottom of the hour. Talk Maryland hoops. Terps 21-7, 11-6 in the conference. At Penn State tomorrow at noon. Nittany Lions 15-14, 5-13 in the league. They're coming off a loss at Indiana a couple of days ago. Maryland bracketology. DeCourcy has them as a 5, Palm a 7, Joe Lenardi a 5, USA Today a 5. So Maryland still with a game against Michigan outside of Penn State. And then Northwestern, chance to level up just a little bit. We'll talk more about that, of course, with Keith at TerrapinTimes.com in a couple of minutes. But in the Big Ten last night, it was number 15, Michigan, at home against Rutgers, fighting for their lives. And it looked like Rutgers was going to pull the stunner until this happened at the end.
Finds Wolf to Burnett for the win.
Peacock on the call. Namari Burnett, three-pointer at the buzzer. And Michigan stuns the Scarlet Knights 84-82. So the Harper-Ace Bailey year looks to be a dud for Steve Peichel, and we'll see. Because they're both expected to be lottery picks, if not top five picks. But tough one for Rutgers, but Michigan continuing to build a pretty strong resume here. Locally, Albany beat UMBC 78-74, and congratulations are in order for Pat Scarry and the Towson Tigers. They beat William & Mary 88-73. They clinch the number one seed regular season championship in the Coastal Athletic Association. Now, as Jimmy Patso said a couple of days ago, they got to win the conference tournament to get in. It's an unfortunate part of the process. I mean, we're talking Arkansas's what, 7-9 in the league, and they're going to be an at-large bubble. Indiana, we've seen them suck many times. Towson dominates 15-2, and they need to win their conference tournament. No at-large bids. It's not one of the two-bid leagues, unfortunately, but you never know. So let's go Tigers. Get in there. NBA last night, it was New Orleans 124-116 over Phoenix. Zion Williamson had a triple-double for the Pelicans, 27-10-11. Damian Lee, Calvert Hall, DNP. Bradley Beal late scratched. Who's the old Bobster in Daily Fantasy? Because I did all right. Everybody else did well. I had Steph Curry, who had 56 points last night. Bradley Beal would have brought me like 30. I probably would have won like $15, $20. But, you know, it's not about me. Lakers, 111-102 over the T-Wolves. Ant-Man got thrown out. 16th technical, so he's going to get suspended. So what are you doing?
Man.
And this Vanderbilt guy, he likes picking fights, it seems, for L.A. But LeBron, monster game, 33-17-6. Luka had good, if you look at the box score, that's great. Until you look at his shooting percentage, which was terrible. Alex Len, Vinny, told you when they signed him, don't expect much. DNP, coach's decision. He's tall. If he was 6'4", he'd have been in Europe somewhere a long, long time ago. Former Turk, by the way. Boxing tomorrow night. WBA Light Heavyweight Championship, or Lightweight Championship, excuse me. Tank Davis, Gervonta, Baltimore Zone, was wearing a Yankee hat, which, whatever. 30-0, 28 KOs, taking on Washington's Lamont Roach, who's the WBA Super Featherweight title holder. He's 25-1-1 with 10 knockouts. It's in Brooklyn. We'll preview that fight later in the show with Tommy Gerbasi. As we said, Tank, he's like Christmas, comes around once a year. Today's Christmas Eve. So I want to fight three times this year. We'll believe it when we see it. On the ice for the second straight game. The Caps at home against a lesser opponent. Mm-hmm. And for the second straight game, did not go well.
Looking for Sandin. That was well read. Blues will counterpunch 3-on-3. Matthew Joseph. Nice pass, and that's a layup. Slam dunk for Broberg.
Second goal for Broberg. That's Joe B. Monumental on the call. 5-2.
Yeah.
The Blues giving the Caps the Blues last night in D.C.
Yeah, the Caps tied it up 2-2, and then they, you know, they scored two goals in no time to go up 4-2, and then they got the empty netter. Ovi was a -4. Ovi was on the ice for a lot of the goals.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Caps, they lost two in a row. Bob, they got Tampa, who's won 7 in a row. Hottest team in the league coming in on Saturday. So that is not going to be easy.
Yeah, that's a 12:30 puck drop tomorrow down in D.C. This day in sports history, it's the Whip Around. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Just a couple things for you. Last day of February 2025, February 28, 1976, Colt Fieldhouse, 10th-ranked Maryland, beat Virginia, 81-73. Mo Howard in his last home game at 24. John Lucas at 15. Steve Shepard, who would win a gold medal for the U.S. Olympic team later that summer at 19. Brad Davis at 12. Terps beat the Cavaliers. Unfortunately, in just a couple more days, Cavaliers would end Maryland's season. 1980, first round of the ACC tournament. Greensboro, number one seed, 7th-ranked Terps, beat Georgia Tech in overtime, 51-49. Albert King with the game-winning shot at 16-7. Buck Williams, 18-10, as Maryland advanced to the next round against the Clemson Tigers. This year's Maryland team, well, they're fourth right now in the Big Ten. They're trying to maintain that advantage, if not move up. Got Penn State tomorrow. Talk to Keith Cavanaugh about that. And the coaching changes for Mike Locksley's staff, a bunch of them, to the point where it looks like a yearbook of pictures of new coaches added to Mike Locksley's staff. So Keith Cavanaugh gets to the bottom of that. Then a funhouse trip. Nolan McGraw coming up 11:45. News from the Nats coming up top of the hour. Get back to John Harbaugh. Also going to hear from Zach Taylor and others talking about what's going on in the NFL. Andrew Berry, the Browns, I don't say they're hapless. They did make the playoffs last year, but they're in a very precarious situation because their best player wanted a trade and is saying no to a contract extension. And Mike Locksley has hired everyone on the left side of the country to be a head coach or an assistant coach at the University of Maryland from TerrapinTimes.com. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. He's our friend and yours, Keith Cavanaugh. Keith, how you doing?
Guys, you can hear me, correct?
Correct. Yes.
Okay, a moment ago, we were having a little glitch. However, yeah, Bob, I was surprised your mug wasn't on that mugshot list of 19 new coaches, either reassigned in new roles. But most, half of them were assistants to assistants. So the bizarre world of coaching comings and goings out there continues. But quick football note before we jump into hoops. Andre Roy, the 6'6 tackle from St. Francis, left the program yesterday. Now, he started this year. He wasn't going to start next year. He had been recruited over, was kind of a miss, had a lot of issues with penalties. He's gone. But the biggest news we're waiting on right now is the new defensive coordinator. And Vinny, you probably know him from back in the day. Awaiting contract finalization with Ted Monachino, former Ravens linebackers coach, former DC for the Colts, was most recently the UNC D-line coach, was not retained by Belichick. He's expected to be the new DC, which would finish up, defensive coordinator would finish up the Maryland staff hires this spring.
So before we get to hoops, as you said, Keith, the changes are intended to do what in regards to performance on the field? Because it's been a revolving door, as you know, with the coaching staff since Mike Locksley took over as head coach, 2019, I think we're going back to now.
Now we lost Keith.
And it was probably going to be one of the most profound answers he has ever given us, Keith Cavanaugh from TerrapinTimes.com.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to be able to do this again. But the we had this a couple weeks ago. Every time we get on, it drops out every 30 seconds. So
what the hell's his problem then, Nolan?
It doesn't necessarily mean it's his problem. But all right, I'll call him back. We'll give him one more go.
You give him one more go. But Monachino, he has been in the NFL for a while, but now circles back to College Park. But, again, Vinny, a lot of turnover. I mean, remember coaching staffs used to be like 7 or 8 people? Now it's like 40. You have the assistant to the assistant, and then there's analytic parts that are part of it, and I get all that. But the turnover thing is maybe the most concerning, frustrating, whatever we want to call it here.
Right. What do good teams have? Continuity. And what do the Terps never have? Continuity. I mean, they're changing coaches so many every year. And why, you know, if it's Locksley, Damon, you know, why? You know, that is the question.
Well, let's get back and see what Keith Cavanaugh has to say. Are we good, Keith Cavanaugh?
I put another quarter in the rotary pay phone over here. Hopefully this works.
Right. Why the turnover coaching staff, real quick?
Well, I think we discussed this last week. A lot of volatility in the program. Every 2 years, all three coordinators turn over. Not a good sign. Locksley can be a taskmaster as a head coach. Obviously, the team's fortunes have turned the wrong way. Obviously, fan attendance out there is pretty meager. So it's not quite a type sport. We're getting a lot of coaching lifers who have been around forever, who have recently been analysts, have been in the business for 40 years, or were Terp assistant coaches 2 or 3 times before. So I hate to say rearranging the chairs on the Titanic, but I just said it.
Keith Cavanaugh, TerrapinTimes.com, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Keith, before the can of tomato soup breaks for the final time here, let's get to the Maryland game. A couple of nights ago, lose a 60-footer at the buzzer. It is what it is, but opportunities to extend leads in the first half when they had one. But Penn State tomorrow, why have the Terps been bad against the Nittany Lions? We're still fighting to even get into the Big Ten tournament. How are we looking at the last 48 hours, looking ahead to tomorrow, less than 24 hours from now?
Yeah, Mike Rhodes is a great coach. That's a kind of horror show place to play for the Terps. You can hear me, right, Bob?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, tough place to play. Ace Baldwin, St. Francis, pride of St. Francis. He's their leader in scoring, assists, steals. They beat Purdue by 11 this year. they just barely lost to Michigan State and Michigan. They're out of the Big Ten tournament. They're pissed. So that's a tough turnaround, a noon game. Good news is Puff Johnson is out for the year with a hand injury, but they're kind of a wounded animal right now. But here's the bottom line on the Terps team and their devastating loss. However devastating that was, the dust has settled. You know, we've all gotten over it. Haney, I'm not sure if you have.
I'm good. I'm fine.
It was, I know you had to go pick up a new comfort llama and Shetland pony and go to therapy this week.
If that had been 40 years ago, I would be buying a new TV this weekend. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah. Here's the deal. That was their first true physicality test, okay? And they mostly failed it, okay? You learn, you know, strength, speed, athleticism, physicality. And Michigan State always have physical issues. Yeah, their defense, offensive rebounding, their transition game, the fact they can go 10 deep. But a great lesson in end-of-game situations. Gillespie pulled the trigger too quick. A great lesson in Juju not reverting back to old habits, like bringing the ball down to his knees and having, what, the two of them combined for, what, 11 points? No assists in the first half. So let's get back to running offense. Do they have any set plays for end-of-game situations? You got nothing from your bigs. You went 1-for-47 on your first 48 three-point attempts, but yet you call back. You erase a 9-point deficit in the final 2 minutes, and you have every chance to win it, and you lose it on some miracle horse shot from 56 feet, akin to that Ohio State debacle when Thornton banked in the three with a second left. Did Gillespie pull the trigger too soon on that three? Sure. He probably could have taken it to the rack, tried to get fouled, but it's a bang-bang situation. So hopefully they learn and move on from this, getting stronger. I mean, they had not faced a physical test like that this year. So if you want to go deep into March, you got to prepare for that. And you got to have better options offensively. And you still need more production from the bench. Geronimo had some nice minutes, but for the most part, nil from the bench. So all is not lost. They're still fourth place. You know, still maybe a fifth seed. But let's finish out with Penn State, Michigan, and Northwestern and see what they can do here.
Keith Cavanaugh, TerrapinTimes.com. Keith, always appreciate the time. By the way, flip phones, I don't think they're in vogue anymore. You might want to upgrade a little bit.
Yeah, I'll get a new bat phone next week. And don't forget, number 1 versus number 2, men's lacrosse tomorrow, Maryland versus Notre Dame, out of all places at Bobby Dodd Stadium down in Atlanta. So that's a huge showdown. The men are really doing well.
Keith, appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Thanks,
man.
Keith.
Hey, you too, guys. Sorry about the snafu there.
No, blame modern technology. It's 5-8, 81-0-5-7, the Fan. Come back, reset for you. News from the Nets coming up top of the hour. Let's count that weekend money, hopefully, by 12:15. Buy or sell. Brian DiArda talks some NFL with him. Combine very much happening. What's going on with Matt Stafford? And is Brian DiArda going to start fist fighting with Schultz and Ian Rappaport? You're going to get a little wrestling going on here. Brandon Hyde hasn't met with the media yet today in Fort Myers, so you get an update. But he ran out of Bobby Witt, or not a Bobby Witt, but he ran out of fly ball yesterday and then pulled up short on a ground ball to first and then walked into the dugout with team trainers. And we were watching the highlights, if you want to call it that. So it doesn't appear as though it's anything serious, but we'll know more before we get out of here at 2 o'clock. So we'll give you the lineups and the score update and all that fun stuff. Zach Eflin makes his spring debut for the Orioles today. Sammy Basayo hit a missile. Tyler O'Neill hit a bomb. And Ramon Arias, for a little dude, he's got some sneaky pop. And he hit a home run yesterday as well. Terps tomorrow, taking on Penn State. Just talked about that with Keith Cavanaugh. Noon tip, you can hear the game, 105.7 The Fan. And Tank Davis defends his WBA lightweight championship against the WBA super featherweight title holder, Lamont Roach. It's Baltimore. It's D.C. You know what I'm saying? At Barclays Center. Amazon Prime pay-per-view. Tommy Gervais at Ring Magazine previews that with us coming up around 1:30. But let's get out to the phones before we get to the funhouse and get P.T. and Towson. P.T., what's up?
Hey, guys. A lot of great stuff today. But Bob, seriously, if you're betting on Bradley Beal's character, that's probably going to be a mistake more times than not.
Well, you're being on a heater, and then he was like kind of a late scratch. Like right as I set my lineup, it popped up that he went from probable to questionable to out. So, yeah, there's that.
His whole career, he's a heck of a talent, but he obviously doesn't care about winning, you know?
Well, they wanted to get rid of him. Remember, he wouldn't waive the no-trade thing, or Jimmy Butler might be playing in Phoenix right now instead of in Golden State, where I think they're 7-1 since they traded for him.
I know. If they make another run, I mean, you got to be sick if you're a Heat fan, because Butler just powered his way out. But, yeah, I mean, they're playing some great ball in Golden State, no doubt about it.
Yep.
But you had Mike Harmon's a great guest, but yeah, yesterday he said something I really disagree with. His take on booze, I thought, was just so harsh, right? I mean, to say not drink, dear God.
He's on, I guess, cause in the radio business, I was on Nutrisystem a few years ago. You know, you endorse a product, if you know what I'm saying. And then you have to follow, because you can't, like, I couldn't get on Nutrisystem PT and drink a case of beer every day and expect to lose weight. You know what I mean? So you have to follow said diet. So I think what he's doing is he's not drinking because it's in line with whatever the dietary restrictions are.
Yeah, no, if he can do it, more power to him. But good night. You got to have a drink once in a while.
Since Thanksgiving, especially. Come on. What's the matter with you? Yeah.
The family? You got
as soon as they show up, it's like, where's the beer?
Right. He never worked for Dan Snyder.
Exactly. But anyway, I mean, now the thing coming up tomorrow, the Terps, and it can't be said enough, they have lost 7 straight. It's hard to believe, so you got to repeat it. They've lost 7 straight at Penn State. They've lost 6 of 9 to Penn State. So no matter what the spread is, there's no way you can bet on Maryland tomorrow, right?
I'll bet on Maryland because the loss on Wednesday, I think, motivates them even more. But you have Ace Baldwin, who's buddies with Queen and Reese from their St. Francis days, who's a pain in the ass defensive guy, so he's going to be in Gillespie's face all night long. They have a 7-footer who's busted out here as a sophomore, so there might be some issues in the paint. We just talked about it with Keith PT. Maryland got physical the other night and didn't respond to it. And Sel Miguel was terrible the other night. He hit a hoop to put him up at the half, and then he hit one early in the second half, but no assists, no rebounds, 0-for from the three-point line. Outside of Roddy Rice, there were a lot of no-shows, and they still lost on a 60-footer at the buzzer.
Right. No, it was brutal.
No, they'll be ready to rock and roll. Rhodes is a really good coach there, so if they bring if they're half-stepping, as they used to say in the olden days, they could be in trouble. I don't see that happening. And Penn State turns the ball over a lot, so I could see Maryland getting a lot of runouts tomorrow.
Yeah, that's when they're at their best, definitely, when they're turning teams over. And Willard's got to be given a lot of credit, because I thought Rodney Rice was right there with Miguel, where he's hunting shots and not playing consistent defense. But Rodney Rice is playing himself into the NBA in a couple of years. I mean, he's having a great season, I think.
And keep in mind, and I know you're worried about PT, the roster for next year. Thanks for the call. Have a great weekend. He'll be back. Redshirt sophomore Rodney Rice going to be one of the key components, perhaps, to next year's Maryland team. Let's bring Nolan McGraw in. Quick draw, how you feeling on this Featured Artist Friday? Are you raging against the machine?
No, I feel like we've got a pretty good balance of their discography so far.
I will say this, no ballads.
No.
Ballads coming today. If you want your little tearjerker open arms, it ain't happening with Rage Against the Machine.
Right, I'll piggyback on this Rodney Rice thing, because, you know, had no idea what to expect when he got here, just because he really didn't play. You know, didn't play at Virginia Tech in the 1 year there, so he's kind of a mystery guy, but they touted him for his shooting, and he certainly hung to that. What I really like about him, though, is not just the three-point shooting, that, you know, he can really, from any point of the court, set his feet and get a quick shot off, but he's not afraid to get the mid-range game going.
Nope.
And a couple weeks ago, might have been that Iowa game where they scored over 100 and they just couldn't miss the entire night. I mean, he was automatic. Every time, he'd just get right... toes right on the paint, pull up, didn't matter who was guarding him.
Yeah, he's what they call a three-level scorer. He can score from beyond the arc, he can score mid-range, and he can get in the paint and get himself some shots there. And he shoots over 80% from the line, so he has been a big-time asset to this team. And he struggled in the first half, let's not forget, against Michigan State, but he was the offense in the second half until Gillespie started getting to the line, and, you know, we don't want to revisit that, do we? Pound inside.
No. I'd like to see more of that tomorrow, and they should be able to. I mean, Michigan State, really good defensive effort. I was just disappointed that the Terps let it stifle them as much as it did.
I'm going to get cocky here. I'm seeing puffy pants tomorrow.
What's the spread?
That I don't know. I will look that up. But unless it's like 40, I like Maryland to cover the spread tomorrow against Penn State. We got time for a fun house? Are we giving stuff away? Yeah. What are we doing here?
No giveaway today. But always stay tuned for that. Maybe something next week. You never know.
Let's do it.
Quick Draws Fun House. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
All right, first one here says the Terps will finally exorcise their Penn State road demons tomorrow. What's funny is it feels like they've actually played the Terps tough even in College Park over the years, just a pesky team. But Maryland will be inspired after the loss. Wouldn't surprise me if they treat them like Iowa, blow them out.
And look, and I don't think this will have anything to do with what Penn State did against Maryland in football when they were running up the score late. But I would think if there's an opportunity, maybe, to impose wills, I wouldn't be against it.
I mean, is there...
Maryland's favored by 1.5.
That's it?
That's it. Ooh.
Well, now I'm scared.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. I wish you didn't tell me that.
Yeah, 1.5.
Uh-oh. Oh, I don't even know where to go. I'm rattled over here.
I'm
shifting in my seat.
Maryland spanks them. Red ass. Oh. That's a red ass.
All right. Anyway, another text here says, I'm setting the over-under on Derek Queen three-point attempts for the rest of the year at 0.05 or 0.5. Is he going to take any? Texter says, Willard should threaten to sit him every time he lets one fly from beyond the arc. I don't even want to see his feet near the line unless it's setting a pick.
I'm not saying it didn't happen, but during that game Wednesday night, the thought probably crossed Kevin Willard's mind, like, what the bleep are you doing, dude? And I'm going to say over, say first round of the tournament, they're thumping like a 13 seed or whatever it is. I wouldn't be surprised if he might fire one up. But I get what the texter's saying there. Don't do it. Right. Bad. And enough with the left-handed stuff in the paint. Enough.
The fadeaways.
Yeah, I mean, enough. It's enough.
You're better. You're stronger.
Yeah,
just go get it.
Just dunk on people.
This one here on the Ravens says, there goes DaCosta crying about money again. What's the harm in saying you'll just be active in free agency? Why limit yourself out the gate? Free agents, agents, they pick up on that when you say that you're looking to go bargain shopping.
Well, I think agents, and they know the Ravens' reputation. And the thing with the cap, one thing, cash creates cap. And what do you mean by that? If you pay big signing bonuses, you can lower the cap. If you have large cap numbers and you don't want to give cash up front, that's why you have bigger cap numbers, because you can lower the cap by giving huge signing bonuses.
Still can't get over that spread. I'm dying over here.
Oh, wow.
1.5.
Got you all discombobulated.
That's
they're the second worst team in the conference.
Easy money. Well, they've lost 7 in a row, as PT just brought up. But after, if they had like blown Michigan State out by 25, then I'd be a little worried about that 1.5. But coming off that sort of loss, nah. Nope. Trying to stay in the top 4 of the Big Ten. Guaranteed Joe Namath style. Not only are they going to win, whatever. They're going to cover the spread and win by, I don't know, 1 million points. News from the Nest next.